Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart. Can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud today. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My power turned on. Starting right now, I'll be good. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes, cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me. Losing
friends. Hello, and I'm everybody. This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's this horrible rainy day outside. The temperature is up to around 50 or so. It's the 50 degrees, but, you know, not great, not wonderful to walk around it. But anyway, so I'm here in New York City, and today we're going to have a guest, Colette Smith, who made news last year as July saw her coaching the New York Jets. She's the first female to coach the team and one of only few women to do so for the NFL. Colette has previously played tackle football for the New York Sharks prior to being an assistant coach on that team. Colette has appeared on many talk shows due to the position, leading her to become a motivational speaker. Colette now owns and operates a company devoted to having people believe in themselves. In fact, she recently spoke at the U.S. Tennis Association's luncheon, where she was given a huge standing ovation. So I'm waiting for her to call in. And, well, to add to this, because next month is Black History Month, and we'll find out also what this has to do with Colette. But first, a word from one of my favorite sponsors. Yeah.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. They also have these soft batch cookies that are so good. Particularly for me is the chocolate mint cookies. So much better than the Girl Scout ilk, you know. Let's see, as I continue waiting, let's talk about, I guess, what's been coming up these days. I attended, yes, I went to the Downton Abbey exhibit in Manhattan. Now, I have to say, it is absolutely brilliant and overwhelming. But if you're a fan of Downton Abbey, it's certainly not overwhelming. You think of it as like six seasons of Downton Abbey in this exhibit. I'm actually at some point we'll have somebody come on the show to talk about everything because I'm going to describe what's on each floor. There's three floors of this, and so worth going to. And there are interactive things where, like, you put on headphones and listen. There's one interactive thing where you can figure, like, you press some answers to some questions to see if you qualified to have a position there working in Downton Abbey. Well, I believe that I'm meaning the downstairs people. Then there's movies. Some are like just little short things, and then some are like, a couple of them are like 5 minutes long. And then there's a whole thing with the costumes, and an entire thing. If you're a history buff, you'll love it too, because Downton Abbey played it historically, I think beginning of World War I. And so the historic things were shown in the series, which was certainly not a soap opera. It was like, it was as if like each episode was a movie. This is why I liked it. Now, I got hooked on it because of my friend Eden Lang, who got hooked on it and told me about it. And I said, all right, I'll go watch it. That was it. Then I continued. It was like every week looking forward to seeing it, you know, one of those kind of things. We all hated that it ended, but, you know, it's with certain things that they just have to end, you know, and people in the that were in it, the actors have to go on to other things. Then also, afterwards, she and I went to tea. They partnered up with the Whitby Hotel, a British hotel, and we had tea there. That was wonderful. I haven't even gotten to the description of the things we ate. It's all on my Facebook page. But one of the things that's important when people think of going to tea and these small sandwiches and little things to eat, it makes you full. It does. Doesn't look like it will, but it will make you fill up on delights. At least at this particular place. The important part, of course, is, you know, it's not for you to go there and just, like, grab a meal. It's not that kind of thing. It's to dine and relax and have delicious cups of tea with it. What we had, I had, let me see what tea. I had, Now, Enid had rooibos tea for the first time. That's the tea that comes from South Africa. I had wait a minute, look at that. I'll have to look, because I'd later had a flower tea. We wanted to try a flower tea, meaning just the flowers, a marigold. And they put the marigold in the hot water, and you could see it blossom. Just watching it blossom. It was so cool to do that. And we made the mistake. We lifted our pinkies. I did not know that was really a rude thing. I later looked up on the internet to check it out. And as it turns out, it's rude because it shows shows that you think you're better than others kind of thing. Because if you're lifting your pinky, you're eating with three fingers. And if you don't, you're eating with four fingers, which is, I guess, cruder to do. So, but anyway, and so what we had, what we did, they had all these on the top tier has the sort of, what would you call the dessert type things. And in the middle, you had your sandwiches. I had four different sandwiches. And at the bottom, you had your scones with the, what the clotted, I think it's called the clotted cream, along with two different preserves. So this entire experience, that itself was an experience, but Downton Abbey exhibit. Anyway, got lots of photos, so you could just Google my name with the word Facebook and go on there and you could see what's going on. Well, as I'm still waiting for Colette to call, I guess I might as well talk about another thing. Well, along with, you know, February coming up with the, not coming up with, February being Black History Month, it's also, the Lunar New Year. It's going to be the year of the dog. And what I had found out, I was very curious, because we used to always call it Chinese New Year. And I had noticed, especially downtown Flushing, where there's a tremendous amount of Asian population, that the Koreans celebrate also. And as it turns out, there is a similar Korean holiday that falls out about the same time. So that's why it had changed, I guess, to Lunar New Year for everybody to be celebrating. So what did I do? I went off to a Korean restaurant. Yes, I haven't been in a Korean restaurant in about 30 years due to the idea of all the spicy food. Well, okay. So I went to this place. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of read you. Well, okay. Korean restaurants are well known for an array of complimentary small dishes called banchan that's laid out on your entree. And they're said to be impressive, showcasing a quality of care, service, and economic stability. And according to a bit of research, it is served in odd numbers, as even numbers are supposed to be bad luck. Okay, so the best way to understand banchan is by general categories of ingredients and preparation. An infinite variety of banchan can be grouped into the following culinary techniques. I'll try to pronounce it. Namul muchim, which means lightly seasoned ingredients, in particular vegetables, roots, sprouts. Jjim, that's steamed. Jorim, which is braised and seasoned broth or sauce. Bakyum, which is lightly sautéed or stir-fried. And, of course, kimchi and jangeji. It's fermentation and pickling. There's also a variety of jeon, which is thinly pan-fried savory pancakes and small meat patties that are associated with larger feasts rather than the everyday casual meal. Three in particular will always appear no matter how great or humble the table setting: kimchi, numumuchim, and jorum. Now, what a better way to sample these dishes and the menu than dining at this place called Komgangsan Barbecue, which is located at 13828 Northern Boulevard in downtown Flushing, Queens. Assistant manager Greg San provided some information to me saying that one set of dishes would be something like 6 or 7 small dishes of different foods, plus a plate of kimchi. So typically one set of that will be served to a minimum of 1 to 4 persons. For a group of 12, you will see 3 sets of those. Okay, so there is, he says, there is basically a large spoonful on a small dish, and we serve different kinds every day with the exception kimchi, which is a staple of the Korean food. The preparation of the side dishes are a big operation, of which they have a separate department specializing in just the creation of these delights. Kumgen San is open 24 hours, which is also part of the reason why they do so, and having a crew of 10 that are working around the clock. The side dishes, he says, get served at the restaurant, but there is a big demand for catering for large parties, and I can certainly understand after having these. Okay. Wanting to sample a good amount of the bill of fare, I dined with Yo Cheng Ma and her husband, Michael Dadap, who are the owners of the Children's Orchestra Society. Yu Chang is also an accomplished violinist, a pediatrician, and the sister of Yo-Yo Ma. Michael, originally from the Philippines, is the musical director and conductor. Now, he has a great collection of stringed instruments. Okay, they also have a daughter, Laura, who is both musician and actress. And I loved her performance in the show, The Vocal People. Well, they have eaten here prior and recommended the restaurant to me. That's how that started. Okay, now I first admit that I have not sampled. Okay. I haven't sampled it in about 30 years. Did I write this again twice? I have to take a look. Okay. Due to the thought of it being too spicy for me. Kimchi is the kicker. Made from fermented cabbage and usually with ginger, garlic, and or chili paste and hot pepper flakes. The chef here actually prepares a second kimchi that's much less of that red stuff, but still maintains a bit of a kick. I was able to have that, and that was perfect for me. Now, some of the small dishes that came out was, there was these cubed radish kimchi. There was these pickled cucumbers. There were bean sprouts with scallions that have been marinated with garlic, and some other ones that I'm still trying to describe. I did a doggy bag, so I have things at home. Thank goodness. Okay. So the appetizer began to make its way to the table, and it's sushi and sashimi combinations. Sushi and sashimi. Let's say 3 times this combination. 3 pieces of sushi, 9 pieces of sashimi. Then there was this Korean steamed eggs that were whisked in salted water and steamed in a pot with scallions. I thought there'd be a lack of flavor in it because it was, it was just eggs, but definitely not. Then came this seafood pageant. The crispy rice flour pancakes with shrimp, and not those tiny, like, ilk, you know, those little things, and scallions. Then, let's see. By the way, I enjoyed these pancakes actually more than the Chinese version that's made with wheat flour. Then came out duck gook. It could be duck gook. I'm not sure. Anyway, D-U-K, G-U-K. It's a traditional Korean soup with oval-shaped rice cakes. Now, these white oval shape symbolizes a bright and prosperous new year. The Korean holiday, this is for the Korean holiday that coincides with the Chinese New Year. Now, the most popular entree is the barbecue that's cooked at your table. So we ordered kalbi, which is thinly cross-cut beef short ribs with bone, marinated in a special sauce. Oh, I really need to get the recipe to this, and I need to get it because I want to find out the marinade, because this comes out so tender. Okay, anyway, back to this. And it comes with onions, garlic cloves, mushrooms, and peppers, which you can either eat raw or just add to the cooking. Then there was a second sauce provided along with lettuce for you to wrap whatever you just want to, and then enjoy. Yu Chang informed me that the barbecue, by the way, would not begin until the sushi was completed. That wasn't a problem for me. Okay. As if it wasn't enough food. Well, that's why they got the doggy bags. We sample a second entree called bibimbap, a large bowl of rice topped with a variety of individually prepared vegetables and beef, and then topped with an easy over-fried egg. Now, although it is served like with a second, with a seasoned red chili pepper paste, here again there was no need to add, unless you wanted to partake in a spicier manner, you know. Now, bibim means mixing, and bap means rice. So this dish, served in a sizzling hot stone bowl, is mixed at the table right before eating. The hot stone bowl gives the bottom layer of rice a nice golden crust, and the rest of the food sizzles while being mixed. Yu Chang said that she loves to scrape out the crust, take it home, and later use to mix with their meal. I don't believe she's the only one that does this. Well, anyway, the best thing at this food, the food at this restaurant was really so tasty. I can't even be, it that I didn't like look at it as I just went to a Korean restaurant more than I just went to this restaurant that so tantalized my taste buds in different ways. That's how I saw it. So it's the restaurant again is Kumgang San, which is spelled Kumgang San. And I think they have a couple of other locations. And by the way, check out the, just Google the Children's Orchestra Society and see what's coming up. Oh, and by the way, the tea comes with it. And this tea is made of barley and corn and served in a glass. And dessert, they said there's only one dessert. It's a soy-based vanilla-flavored yogurt. And it was absolute perfect. It was, yeah, it was so good. What they don't serve, if you ever notice, if you go to, well, I had noticed it with Chinese restaurants, I guess it's the same with Korean, they don't serve this dairy, which doesn't make it necessarily kosher in terms of, you know, about not mixing meat and dairy, but it's that kosher law of not, you know, being able to, that you shouldn't do that. Now, I'm not sure whether I had first heard that that was because there isn't an abundance of or much milk in that area, or cows, or to have milk, or that's whatever, milking cows. I'm not sure why. But the reality is, in terms of mixing meat and milk, it's really not good for you digestive-wise anyway. So I guess they kind of have the right idea. Now, let's see if I can... we're 25 minutes into the show, and Colette hasn't called, so I'm going to play a song, and just going to grab one, always one that I like, an oldie, well, not too old, but I like it. my rubber chickens. They heard me talking. I realized I did not take them to the exhibit. I did not take them to the Korean restaurant, and they're quite upset. So whatever my next venture is, I'm going to have to take them because they have their own blog. It's called Esther and Eunice Adventures at blogspot, .blogspot.com. Actually, if you just Google my name, you'll find all the things that I do that keep me busy. So let's see. Let me see if I can, even though, oh no, I already spoke about what's coming up. Let me tell you what's coming up here. Okay. Here's another thing coming up. This is interesting. Even though it's here, I'm sure other places do these things. Cemeteries tend to, not all of them, just some cemeteries have entertainment going on. I don't mean, entertainment. They use certain areas. One, for instance, this place, Maple Grove Cemetery. There's a group they call Friends of Maple Grove, and they'll do things like reenactment of the Civil War, things like that. So they tend to have some events going on. So what on February 3rd, they're having a full day of that. They're going to start with showing the movie All Quiet on the Western Front on a 100-inch screen. I don't know if that's big. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. They're going to do that, and then following that, they're going to have a concert with it's going to be a tribute concert to a woman that was buried there, a world-famous concert pianist and Juilliard teacher, Rosina Levine. Rosina was a Kew Gardens resident, and among her notable students were Van Cliburn, the first American to win the prestigious Tchaikovsky piano competition, and composer John Williams. So this is something that's going to be going on there in case in New York. Well, you know, I'm saying this, you know, it's local. However, you should kind of check to see if any of the cemeteries in your area are doing something. Except for things something like the Civil War reenactment. I mean, you're not going to go stepping on everybody's grave or that kind of a thing. You don't have to worry about that. And they have a center there when you first walk in, so they can sit and relax and see the and enjoy the entertainment. A lot of which is free. And so that's something else that's coming up. Since I live in Queens, you know, most of the things I write about has to do with events in Queens, unless they take place in Manhattan, which I just slip there and go. Anyway, you know what else is coming up? Mardi Gras is coming up next month, and I'll talk what I'm going to talk about. Oh, yes, and what I'll be doing. Why not? King cake. Oh, in terms of Mardi Gras, you know, I didn't realize what the whole thing was about. I thought, you know, everybody's just you know, having this celebration for whatever reason. Well, as it turns out, okay, so let's get into quick about this. Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, as they call it, is the last day of carnival season, as it always falls the day before Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, which this year is February 14th. That's the time of year that features king cake. And I partied, actually. I did this some years back and went to Shreveport, Louisiana for this. Okay, so for those of you that are unfamiliar with this delicious pastry, it all started many moons ago when they placed a bean in each cake. The person who got the slice with the bean was crowned like king of the feast. And, well, it became a more religious aspect. And due to this, as leading on, you will most likely find instead a small plastic baby representing baby Jesus. And the person who gets that slice gets to continue the party by furnishing the next king cake. I can't help it. I'm sorry, but the first time I saw this, the only thing what went through my head is somebody getting this, not knowing, and getting this, and suddenly going, Jesus Christ, what did I just bite into? What did I just choke on? Okay. Anyway, a lot of places, what they do is there's a little warning, or if sometimes what they do is they provide you with the little baby Jesus, maybe to put on top of the cake instead, and some of them also provide you with the beads. And, well, okay. So what I did is I had gotten in touch with the place, Lila's Bakery, and all they do is make is king cakes. And they have like 20 flavors, and ones like that. I had them send me a few. Well, anyway, they'll have things like cinnamon and sugar, which is the most common one. Black forest, tiramisu, strawberries and cream, which is cream cheese, maple bacon. I mean, all kinds of sauce, and then sorts. That is that. The cake. And their cakes are made daily, so they're not frozen. That's the great thing about it. And you can, you know, order them online if you're not down there. The cake comes with a small box, and with this containing the plastic baby and the sets of beads. Okay, so then I had a second company in Shreveport. Let's see the name. Ann's. I'll forget it. Something Ann's. Okay, I'll get the thing. Another bakery in Shreveport. And I got from there, which was a little different. Now, this particular bakery, I mean, just Google, you know, King Cake in Shreveport. Anyway, Julie Ann's. Now, with Julie Ann's, they make this all year round, so you don't have. It doesn't have to be, you know, just during the time of Mardi Gras. And so I had some of them sent up to me as well. Now, they will put the little baby Jesus, very tiny little baby Jesus, in the cake. So you got to really watch out for this one. And all these cakes are delicious. They're like a coffee ring kind of thing. And in the top, they put this frostings that are, or icings rather, icings that are the colors of Mardi Gras, which is, purple, yellow, and green. And it's all sugar sprinkled on the top. And depending upon where they make the cakes, they put things inside of it, which is why you'll maybe get cream cheese and these other delicious things. These are like killer, you know. they're killer because you take a piece and you go, oh, that was good, I'll have another, you know, and before you know it, the cake is gone sooner than you wanted it to be. So that's my topic regarding king cakes. Well, okay. So apparently she's not going to call in. I'll find out why. And I guess perhaps we'll do this this particular topic on a later date. So I'm going to just end the show early and revise what I put into the description to include what I really talked about. So, everybody, have a great day, night, evening, or whatever, and stay safe. Bye.